We'll turn now to our text this morning, which, for those who want to look it up, is Colossians 3, verse 15 through 17. So Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. It's really also where the theme is taken from, and all you do, give thanks to the Lord. Colossians 3, slightly a well-known chapter, wonderful description of the new life that we have in Christ, of seeking the things that are above and our life being hidden with Christ in God. And in these verses 15 through 17, not only do we get the encouragement to give thanks once, but twice, and it shows us also how to do that. So Colossians 3, starting at verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, in everything, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's probably no surprise to you, but tomorrow it is Thanksgiving Monday. And it is great also that we have days like this, like Thanksgiving, giving us some time to pause and reflect, to maybe be mindful of all of the things that indeed we can be thankful for. Because especially as Christians, we confess that we live a life of thankfulness. Every year as we go through the catechism, we even have that third part that is all about our thankfulness. But as much as it is meant to be ingrained in all of life, we likely all also know that we need those regular reminders to be thankful, to not take all that we've been given for granted. But how do we give thanks? And what does Thanksgiving really look like? Perhaps there is, I don't know if a danger, but maybe a tendency within also our world and maybe even also in our own lives to maybe have more of a narrow view of what Thanksgiving really is. When it comes to a lot of things in this world and in society today, it's a lot about feelings. And maybe that's also what we right away think of when it comes to Thanksgiving. It's that feeling of gratitude. It's perhaps mostly a sentiment. Yes, and that sentiment does need to be made verbal. It has to be said. And so we teach kids, too, to say thank you after we receive something, especially when they feel thankful. However, when we start to think about Thanksgiving maybe a little bit more and a little bit deeper, we hopefully start to see that there's a lot more involved. That perhaps that sentiment, perhaps those words, thank you, are really just the beginning, just the basics. And it's probably not unknown or new to you. We recognize that so often that in this life, when people are really thankful for amazing things, you know, they are more than just saying thank you. They are remembering what has happened. You know, you may think of someone who has been helped in such a wonderful way, maybe even a sacrificial way, by someone else. And they just go around saying, you know what this person did for me? I want you to know. I'm just so thankful that they helped me. Or it may be that we see that someone is so thankful and we just see that in their actions as they're giving back, as they're helping others. Today, Thanksgiving is not just about a sentiment in the presence or some words that we say, but it brings in past, it brings in present, it brings in what we remember and what we live. And Scripture teaches us that wonderfully also here in Colossians. There's more to Thanksgiving than may actually meet It's the eye. And that is why, also as our text says, we can give thanks to the Lord in all we do. It's not just a sentiment. It's not just a couple words. It's something we can do in all that we do. And so in all you do, give thanks to the Lord. Let's start with a basic question. Why should we give thanks? And why is that so important? You might have noticed as we were reading these verses in Colossians, thanksgiving is a continual theme. It's mentioned in pretty much in every verse, whether it is that we are to be thankful, then to also sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts, and then at the end just saying, basically, in whatever you do, in word and deed, do it, everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And it's not actually just those verses in Colossians that have such an eye for thankfulness. The book of, or the letter to the Colossians has four chapters, and yet you'll find at least six times where the Apostle Paul comes back to thankfulness. He himself is just thankful for what the Colossians have done and the fruit that they show in their lives. He prays himself for the Colossians, that they may be rooted in Christ and that may give fruit of thankfulness. And he teaches us that thankfulness is always to be part of our prayer. Thanksgiving marks this letter, and it marks, in Paul's view, the life of every Christian. We can't overlook the importance of thanksgiving. So it's important that in our text, then, thanksgiving becomes an attitude or a motive for all that we do. And whatever you do in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything we need to do needs to be done with that spirit of thanksgiving in the name of Christ. Why is that? Well, maybe there are two things that point us in the direction of answering that question. First, the context. Secondly, the word thanksgiving. The context here, as I briefly mentioned in chapter 3 of Colossians, is all about the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. Paul, in wonderful language, describes the transformation that happens as we become the people of God. Sinners who receive this new life, eternal life, glorified, holy life from the Lord Jesus Christ, who brings us to life from death and sin. He fills us with his Spirit and he transforms our lives, replacing sin and wickedness with thanksgiving and praise. Every blessing of God we can turn back to praise. And because of this chapter, which is full of every different blessing that God gives us in this life, Paul ends saying, give thanks to God in all that you do. Key to our new life is going to acknowledge God in thanksgiving. And that also comes out in that word, thanksgiving. In the Greek, it's a word that actually has to do with grace. If you would put the words together and translate them literally, it would be something like good grace. Yeah, the word that is used in Scripture all the time to describe what God has done for us freely out of grace also pops up again every time the word thanksgiving is mentioned. Hearing the word thanksgiving in Greek, you would have thought, that's grace. Grace, the wonderful news that God gives us life through Jesus Christ, not because of anything that we have done, but freely. A reminder that when we couldn't do anything on our own, and that when we were lost and in the pit and we were stuck in our sin and darkness, that God saves us and sets us free. And chapter 3 is that wonderful capstone saying, like, it's not just a mere salvation, but a wonderful new life. Reconciled to God, renewed. Every time Thanksgiving is mentioned, it's that reminder of what is actually important, that grace that God gives us. Which means that if we start to think about this more deeply, that every time we think about Thanksgiving and how it's important, what it does, one of the first things it does is return us, get us back to grace. Thanksgiving keeps us in grace. In Greek, you would have been like, yes, of course, because Thanksgiving and grace, well, that word is already in Thanksgiving. But for us, we maybe have to have that extra additional step. But when we stop to consider what God has done for us, why we are here, why we are able to give thanks, we return back to grace. That what we have done was nothing to deserve what God has given us and what we are now giving thanks for. And it reminds us of this wonderful way that Scripture has. And it may tell us, as it does in this text, give thanks. But it sends us always back to grace, to Christ. But our text also does more with its context. Because one of the things it does is reveal the important and the natural aspect of Thanksgiving, and that is remembering or remembrance. So if there's one theme in Scripture that you'll find is that whenever you come across something that has to do with Thanksgiving, it often also does something of remembering. Think of the Psalms. This is why we read Psalm 118, or why we sing 118, Psalm 100, whichever one of the Psalms you perhaps prefer to also reread and sing on a day like Thanksgiving. They'll almost always go right away back to something that God has done for his people. Whether it's creation, whether it's salvation, whether it's some wonderful life of renewal, as in Colossians 3. Or if it's not the Psalms, you can think of the Lord's Supper. We have the cup of thanksgiving at the Lord's Supper. Just announced, you'll be celebrating that next Sunday. We say that is also the cup of remembrance, and we remember and believe that the precious blood of Christ was poured out for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Thanksgiving helps us live by grace because it actually always makes us remember what God has done for us. It makes us confess and remember that what we have is not because of our own doing, but received from God's hand. And this is why, even in those three verses, Paul says, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. Because if we understand that Thanksgiving also has to do with remembering, we probably also see why it can be such a struggle. Because is any of our memories really that good? Or who here isn't so often in life occupied with the present, occupied with tomorrow or the day after, that we forget to remember what did God do for us this past week, yesterday? Oh, isn't it cliche in books and movies? You know, there's this rising star, someone from a small town has big dreams, they want to make it big somewhere, but so they get their help from their friends, from the town locals, and once they have that shot to make it big, all of them who helped them say, remember us when you've made it big, when you're off there in Hollywood, when you have your big career. Look back, remember us. And if it's a very cliche movie, yes, it will remember, but only once they, started to crash again and life starts falling apart, they go back to their roots. Isn't that much of what we have as well? We forget to give thanks until we actually reach that point where we say, Lord, I need your help again. That's only then that we start looking back, saying, Lord, I have forgotten how you've helped me in the past. What you've done for me getting me here, now also help me with tomorrow, with today. It's the pattern you find in Scripture. Just think of the Israelites as well. The Lord in Deuteronomy, just as they are on the border of the promised land, says, Israel, remember me when you get into this land. Remember that you didn't build these vineyards. You didn't set up these orchards. You didn't build these houses. It was me and my hand who gave it to you. Do not forget me. Do not follow idols and the false gods of the nations. Remember me. And what did they do? Well, yeah, one generation, two generations. Maybe they remembered, but soon Israel, too, is thinking, look what our hands have done. Look at these orchards. Look at these houses. Look at these vineyards and these fields. They forgot to give thanks. They forgot to remember. And they forgot about the Lord. Thanksgiving should lead to remembering, and remembering should lead to thanksgiving. They go hand in hand, just as thanksgiving and grace. And we know this, probably naturally, we know this because we make this part of so many of our other relationships in our lives. We maybe have gifts within our house or somewhere where we have this distinct memory of when and why and who gave it to us, why its significance, why it's worth remembering. And we know then that also our thankfulness shows in the fact that we remember. And so does that person who perhaps gave it to you. They say, do you remember when I gave you that? Yes. As a husband may say to a wife or a wife to a husband, thanksgiving and remembering go hand in hand. And what this kind of thanksgiving does is help us to not just live for today or live for the future, but to put actually all of it into perspective. So when we come down to it, we may wonder, okay, so what may now the winter bring? What may the next growing season bring once we get through the next couple months? I mean, there are no guarantees. We never know the future. When the present and the future seem to offer little guarantees at first sight, it's Thanksgiving that makes us look back and confess, Lord, there is no guarantees. Unless it's found in you. The Lord has been good to us in the past. Surely he will continue to do that in the future. Think of that refrain of Psalm 118. Praise the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. It is his love that provides that guarantee. And if we struggle to confess that, and if we struggle to make that part of our Christian life, maybe we need to make more of an effort on those parts. Maybe we need to be more, make of a conscious effort that we start our day or our prayers with thanksgiving. Especially when we're burdened with cares, especially when we may be worried about what's coming up the next week. Start with thanksgiving. What is it that the Lord, what prayer is it that the Lord has answered you? Give him thanks for that. What is the things that God has given you that you didn't even pray for, yet he does it wonderfully, provided for you? Give him thanks for that. What is it that we've taken for granted, and yet the Lord is always there? Give him thanks for that. And won't that help us to gain perspective on the cares and concerns and the petitions that we may have for today or tomorrow? Because it's thanksgiving that turns us back to grace, turns us back to remembering, which is really just makes us rely on the Lord more and more. And we all need this reminder. You know, the reason Colossians comes back to thanksgiving again and again, it's not only because it's important, but because we are also often very ungrateful creatures. You know, we struggle with ingratitude. How often our unhappiness is basically because we don't have what we really want, even if it may be toxic for us, because we think we deserve more. How often our ingratitude comes from a sense of just wanting to be independent and not confess that we rely on anyone else. Or that our ingratitude comes from a bitterness of thinking that we somehow have missed out and that the Lord didn't give us the best of something. We probably all know exactly what this looks like in our own lives. And if not, look deeply. What kind of ingratitude might take root and we struggle with? Thanksgiving is so basic to the Christian life. And yet true thanksgiving and a grateful joy is often so rare in ourselves and perhaps also the people that we see around us. We shouldn't fool ourselves to think that Thanksgiving comes easy as if we just do this and this. It's just a sentiment and some words. It's a struggle we all face. And so as we've already said, return back to grace. Return back to God's calling. To be thankful and trust in Him and His work. And let's start first with being thankful for that. But we can continue still to flesh out what Thanksgiving really is and what it looks like. For it's, of course, more than even just relying on grace and more than just remembering what God has done. I mean, in our text, it's that comprehensive idea of that it is something that we ought to do in word and deed and in everything that we do. Now, what does this look like? Well, there is a wonderful verse there, of course, that speaks about singing and praising God with songs, hymns, and psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in our hearts to God. I mean, that is one of the reasons why we have the book of Psalms. It's one of the reasons why thanksgiving should be verbalized and brought to song. The Lord encourages us to do so. Perhaps one of the wonderful ways to think about it is what Psalm 100 says, is that praise and thanksgiving is like the entryway or the gateway to God. How do we come before God? How are we to enter His courts? It's with thanksgiving and praise, like offering our thanksgiving to Him. To sing with full gratitude and thanksgiving in our hearts. But it's not even all that thanksgiving is. It's more. And when we read that, and whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him, one of the things that stands out is that Jesus is titled as Lord. It's not surprising in the context. Colossians all about it. Christ is the great one. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He's the one through whom God is reconciling all things. Of course He is Lord, and of course we confess Him as supreme. But that confession also becomes very practical. It becomes very practical in the way that we live for this Lord over our lives. Even our relationships have a role in this. It's not what we read, but as you go through this, it's there, that last verse, verse 17, is followed by rules for Christian households. It addresses wives, husbands, children, fathers, slaves, masters, everyone really within that household of God, all of them under the lordship of Christ, and says, if we give thanks to Lord Jesus, this is then how we live. It's even so familiar when you read of the instruction that He gives the slaves. So you can even, whatever you do, not this time, do it thankfully. But whatever you do, verse 23, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Whatever you do, work for the Lord. That's what thanksgiving looks like there. When we are thankful, we come to acknowledge Christ as our Lord today. We are not just thinking about what God might have done in the past, but about what He is also doing for us today and what that means for us. Our thanksgiving brings us to the present and future to acknowledge everything in our lives and in this world under Christ's lordship. Thanksgiving and Christ's lordship, as our text says, go hand in hand. So when we consider Christ as Lord, that we have all the more reason to give thanks. Because it means that we're safe. It means that we have the wonderful provision from someone who will provide for us and watch over us. We have found a place to belong. We have a Lord who gives us life and not death. It's under his rule that we learn to live life to the full. Of course, his reign should give us reason to give thanks. But in another way, it's also thanksgiving that brings us back to his reign. Because when we give thanks, we have to answer that question, who are you going to give thanks for? To yourself, to your neighbor, to your boss, whoever did something for you this past week? Or will you come to acknowledge that it is Christ and he who is Lord today? That he is the provider who watches over you. That he is the one on whom you rely. Answering that question is not just a matter of who do you say thank you to, but who do you put your life under? And it's by recognizing Christ's lordship that we also start to understand why Paul may say that you are to give thanks in all circumstances and in all that you do. Paul himself always leads us by example. He writes his letters full of thanksgiving and glory to God as he's in prison, as he faces hardships. Why do that in difficult times? And our scripture reminds us, because Christ is Lord. And if we give thanks to him for being Lord, that means that whatever we face, we are putting ourselves in that situation, under him, as our hope and as our prayer, also for a sinful world and whatever challenge we face. When we put ourselves under his lordship, we remember what he has done in the past and what he will do in the future, and we can be confident that then he will also watch over us today. The lordship of Christ guarantees it. And so we give him thanks, not just in the words that we say and the songs that we sing, but in the life that we live under him, with hope, with dedication, with purpose and love in all of our relationships, in all of our tasks, working for the Lord. That's what thanksgiving then looks like in the present. Perhaps that's also such an important reminder for today. Even today, many different occasions on which we give thanks, like also tomorrow with Thanksgiving Monday, but we always do so at the end. Another growing season, it fits then that we give thanks to the Lord. In other areas of life, there are similar conventions. You write a book, so you say in the acknowledgement, you remember all of those who have helped you along. Even politicians on election night will maybe give thanks to all of those who have brought them there. Weddings, the couple goes up and give thanks for all those who've been helping out and the wonderful catering that happened, and friends and family. You'll hear a lot of thanksgiving on different occasions, but almost always it happens right at the end when something has almost come to a close. I mean, there's something fitting there. Yes, the fruit is there. Everything has been enjoyed. Now is the time for giving thanks. But what that maybe does is also make us neglect thanksgiving up to that point. And let us not be the case in our Christian life. When we hear, whatever you do, whether in word and deed, do it to, in all in the name of the Lord Jesus, let us not wait to then say, okay, we'll get our thanksgiving, we'll get our gratitude in at the end of our lives, at the end of time, whatever it may be, that then we could finally see what Christ has done. No. It says, live under Christ today. That is your thankfulness. Don't let the acknowledgments of your life wait till the last minute, but let it be clear by how you live today. By living a life of thankfulness. It's not just a life full of a feeling or just saying thank you to everyone, but a life full of grace and relying on it through and through. Remembering grace and always returning back to it, never ending with thanksgiving to God for the life that he gives. And it's by giving thanks that we find our spot under his wings, that we find our spot under his lordship. It teaches us to not just live in the past or remember that, though it certainly is that, but to live for him today in all that we do, in word and deed, to give thanks to the Lord, to do everything in his name, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.